Our first reading on this 17th Sunday after Pentecost comes from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthily of the vocation in which you are called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand for the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, asked him, tempting him, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment, and the second is like to this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depends the whole law and the prophets. And the Pharisees, being gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, David's. He said to them, How then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. And what is the greatest commandment? The Lord answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We turn to our Blessed Mother because we have a conflict within the world today, a conflict over the very nature of God. And our Blessed Mother, in humility and simplicity, can give us the answer through the gift of the Holy Ghost descending upon us. And so we turn to her and ask her to help us open the minds and cheer up the hearts that we may realize our presence in God. And so we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The leadership today is much like the leadership of the day in which our Lord Jesus Christ came into the Pharisees' presence, challenging. The doctor of the law asks our Lord Jesus Christ, Tell me, what is the greatest commandment? In other words, we're seeking to test you. And so the consequence is today, we have a leadership that ultimately fails to understand the very first commandment of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, says, God is forever the one to whom we give our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul. All of our strength is given to God because He is the one who gave these things to us. And therefore, if we enter into the love of God, well, then we ought to enter into the love of my neighbor. And how do I love my neighbor best? By bringing to him the truth. The truth is united with love, and love is united with this gift of eternal understanding, light. And so we have a situation on the Asian tour of Bergoglio that he is asked, you have been with the Buddhists and you've been with the Sikhs and all these other religions, religion in quotation, which one is true? And he says, much like the person of Barron, Bishop Barron, if you recall his interview with the good Jew, he was asked, which way is the true way? And instead of answering, there's only one, they said, Barron and Bergoglio said, there are preferred ways. There are many ways to the kingdom of heaven. You can be a good Buddhist, or you can be a good Confucius, or you can be a good Baptist, or a good Lutheran. Any one of these ways is possible, according to Bergoglio. Now that's strange, that the leadership we have in politics and in our faith are creating confusion and creating division. We cannot understand how this is taking place, because ultimately what is the result of this conflict with Bergoglio and others is that there's going to be a complete disintegration of all society. Why? Because ultimately we can only go forward in truth. Once we begin entering into this era of whatever you believe, that's what we'll accept. It's not that way at all. Our Lord Jesus Christ asked the question, who do men say that the Son of Man is? Oh, now they have to answer the question. They go, oh, we know. The answer is very simple. He's the son of David. Well, then how is it that David calls him Lord? Does a son call himself Lord? Doesn't make sense, does it? They couldn't answer it. Only ones that can answer it are Catholics that understand the truth. The truth is that he is the son of David because he's born of David's line as a human. But he is the son of God. And therefore, David would call the son of God Lord. And therefore, the Son of God, in His divinity, is Lord. So we now have the issue that there is no longer the question of which way should I go? The question is, how do I enter more deeply into the love of Almighty God and follow His pattern? Now we have to jump to what took place 2 weeks ago at Ohio State University. Four young men on the football team called for everyone to come together on this night, and they were going to testify about the leadership and the sanctity of Jesus Christ. And this one leader, shining example of true personality in Jesus Christ, could do nothing more than just proclaim how he loved our Lord and how he just let his heart just talk to the heart of our Lord. And just listening to him, you could sense the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in this young man. And so here these four young men testify to Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ in their life. And then they had all these individuals with the union of these different faiths and so forth, bringing a huge barrel of water and so forth. And people were calling to be baptized. They came up there and they were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And out of the water they came, all of these different college boys and girls. Thousands. And was there any disruption? Was there any battling or anything out of the ordinary? Yes. Everyone cleaned up afterwards. The whole place was clean. It's an interesting fact that when people come to know our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to lead him all the way. We have to lead him all the way to the sacrifice of the Lamb. They got so much. He's got so much, and he's got a great gift, in my sense, of how to live the practical life. He asked for that prayer life. It was just a tremendous interview. Was on the internet with Elizabeth. I'm not sure of her last name, but she's a mother with about 10, 11 kids, right? And she does a podcast. And this was just one of the great podcasts that she enjoyed because they were Buckeye fans. And now, so first thing we have to realize is here's our Lord. He's battling against the hierarchy, trying to get them to realize, look, love is ultimately the thing that changes each and every one of us. If you learn to love, you will learn to be with Christ. You will know his nature. You will know that he has a human nature and a divine nature. We call that the hypostatic union. And that hypostatic union is unique in all the history of the world. That union tells us that there are three persons in God: Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is a Catholic God, the God who gave to each and every one of us all the gifts that we have today. He is the one true God. And therefore, a Buddhist has to come to Jesus Christ. Just like these young men in the football season, they united to do all things for the glory of God, and it affected the entire university contingents of people. So here we are, you and I. We have this opportunity to realize we have the truth. Now we have to get the zeal. It's not enough to simply hold on to the truth, but we have to live this truth and give to others this truth. And hence, we find ourselves in the battle, even within our own confines of what is known as the Catholic Church. The Catholic now has been usurped by Russia, by China, by all of these other individuals who say, even homosexuals, that we are the Catholic group. And it's just not true. We're using a term that truly is correct, but we're not using it in the sense that God intended it to be used. So now, let us ask Almighty God to give us today that sense of guidance. And that comes from Our Lady. Our Lady's feast is today, the Lady of the Seven Sorrows. And in the Seven Sorrows, we find exactly what is taking place in the world today. First, you and I are in a situation of anticipation. We know that something is going to take place. We know something is going to completely change our society. We anticipate this suffering because it's not going to be an easy thing. It's going to mean that we have individuals coming together and we're going to have to share with one another in a different way than we ever did before. And therefore, we must prepare ourselves by our Blessed Mother's action in coming to the temple. As we come here, we come to the temple in order to give to God the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We now then say, I anticipate that this child is going to be the mark in the leadership that will guide me to what will be, to the sufferings that will come upon us. And therefore, what little sufferings we have right now are nothing more than preparation. Preparation for a greater suffering that is going to come upon the whole world. And so we say, the first stage is anticipation. We know about it, we think about it, we prepare ourselves by our reflection. Then what takes place? The anticipation comes, and we move to the protection of the child Jesus. He must be protected. Therefore, we exile ourselves. We leave from what is and what people think we ought to be doing to what is most important. Protect the faith within your hearts. Protecting that faith. Therefore, flee to Egypt. Egypt is a place where Jesus is protected. Until that moment in which God says, I will draw my son out of Egypt. I will draw my son out of the exile and put him into that position to begin changing the world. Third step. In the third step, after the exilic situation that you're in and I am in at this moment, we come to that which is known as abandonment. How is the Lord taking care of us? What is it that's coming upon us? I feel like I don't have anywhere to go or anybody to talk to. I'm abandoned. I just don't know what is going to happen. And that abandonment is that which our Lord gave to Our Lady in prefigurement of what He would say on the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we find it in our world today. Forsaken people. People that don't know what is happening and what they can do about it. Well, we have the example of our Lord there. And He says to our Blessed Mother, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? What is that? To bring the truth and to bring the zeal back into the life of people. Because they had all grown dead in their nonsense and their faith. And then we move to the seventh, to the fourth sword that pierced Our Lady's heart. So we had anticipation, exile. We went to abandonment. Now we come to silence. In the middle of the whole heart of our Blessed Mother is this attitude of go and be silent. And in silence, what do you find? The person of Jesus Christ scourged, crucified, head hounded with a hailing pain of a thorn. And then we have this cross that is jammed into the world, and people spitting, and people hitting, and people crying out and cursing the Son of God Himself. Silence makes us realize the sufferings that Jesus Christ endured for my soul. And that silence causes the heart to be cleansed by the blood of a lamb. And so it is in the fifth stage of the spiritual life of the Catholic that we begin to be open to what Jesus Christ gives. Because in the end, He gives the greatest gift of all to us. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Our Lady receives humanity as her children. And now she will bear fruit, bear souls in suffering, in pain. And so it is that you and I enter into this mystery, and we realize that only by our union with our Blessed Mother can we sustain the sufferings and difficulties in our life. So we put everything into her heart. And that led us to the sixth stage. And that is the stage of reverence. That our Blessed Mother is under the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea takes the body of our Lord Jesus Christ down and places it, this body, this holy body, into the hands of Our Lady, who is most reverent, cleansing and caring even for the dead body. And so the consequence is, how do we grow in that reverence for the holy sacrifice of the Mass? How do we grow in reverence for each other in knowing that our lives are intimately united through the person of Jesus, the Son of our Blessed Mother? And so the Pietà indicates to us how we ought to quietly and reverently respect everything of Jesus Christ. And finally, we come to our death. We come to death. We realize that ultimately everything in this world is going to come to an end. It's all futile, as St. Paul tells us. This world is destined for futility. And therefore, each one of us must always take every day some time to think, I am not going to be here forever. So what can I do today that will be pleasing to Almighty God and help me save souls for that kingdom? And in doing this, we kind of open our minds and our hearts to everything that has gone before us and know that everything has been a preparation for where I am now. So let us follow the seven steps of Our Lady, realizing we all are going to enter into these different spiritual programs that God has made for us through Our Lady. So let us keep our minds alert and be ready for whatever it will be that comes upon us. We can handle it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.